The snake is certainly a totem animal, a very, very important animal to people psychologically. The Greeks, of course, considered that the snake was the household god, and of course the snake really represents healing.
So why are you so scared of them?
They have too much power, too much magic.
This week on the Nature Stories podcast, a meditation on the worth or worthlessness of snakes. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week, we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Snakes, a vintage piece from the 1980s from producer Jay Allison and his series, Animals and Other Stories.
Naja Naja, the Indian cobra, South American rattlesnake, Crotalus trificus, Bitis gabonica, the galloon viper, Theliternus crotlandi, the bird snake, northern copperhead, Acistrodon contortrix,
Bothrops atrox, rattle, and garter, and black, and cobra.
The one with a little red, a coral snake, which somewhere I saw, and it was very, and an adder, something adder.
Is a boa constrictor a snake?
Water snake, garden snake. Copperhead, rattlehead,
moccasin heads,
a couple vipers,
or a coach whip, which is cognate to the black razor.
How many more are there?
Oh, well, there are lots of them. I mean, they're cobras.
That's about it.
The snake and man are the most ancient pair that have appeared together in archaeological history, if you care, if that matters to you. There's a lot of atavistic fear about snakes and worship of snakes. The snake is certainly a totem animal, a very, very important animal to people psychologically. The Greeks, of course, considered that the snake was the household god, and of course the snake really represents healing.
So why are you so scared of them?
They have too much power, too much magic.
According to my science teacher, everybody's instinctively scared of snakes because when we were back, way back, when we were monkeys, we were supposedly non-nocturnal animals. When a snake came creeping up on us in the dark, we couldn't hear it, we couldn't smell it. It must have been terrifying to suddenly look and see this big, great, huge snake about to, looking down its throat. So almost everybody's instinctively afraid of snakes.
He sent me a rattlesnake's head. I couldn't have been more than 9, maybe, when this happened. A rattlesnake's head with a mouth open, shellacked and cut off here. And I can remember my father saying, don't play with the fangs, you know, because there could be some dried venom in there. Gee, then I used to stare at that, and I just wish I had a snake. It was something that wasn't a garter snake or a water snake. There were so few in New Jersey. I wanted, in sixth grade, we used to catch Decay snakes, which is a, you know what they are? Yeah. And garter snakes. We put them on our heads, my best friend and I. And then we would see girls, which is all we really wanted to, you know, have to do with, not really snakes. And we'd take our hats off, and they would scream. But they would remember us, you know?
Ugly snake. She is alive. She'll talk to you. She'll smile at you. She has the body of an ugly snake and the head of a lovely young girl.
Have they given you any reason to believe that they have personalities?
No, dear. I've never seen any personality in a snake, but I've never gotten near enough.
In their eyes, do you see any?
Oh, Lord, I've never looked in their eyes and said no. I wouldn't dream of doing it, and I've never touched one.
Have you seen any around this place? And if so, how would you react, say, if you were walking in the path in the woods there?
Well, I've never seen one around here. We don't have them around here. We live in a nice part of town. We don't have snakes. We have deer, and we have red squirrels and gray squirrels, and we have geese and all kinds of nice things, but we do not have snakes.
A few years ago, I had a wonderful experience letting a very large snake sort of glide along my shoulders and wrap me up, and its little face was next to my face, its little tongue was wiggling at me, you know, and I had the feeling that when he was encircling me with his body, he was actually massaging my muscles, you know, and being very kind to me, so I don't have any trouble with snakes.
Have you ever held a snake in your hands?
Good God, no. Why would I?
I love the way they feel. I used to think when I was small that snakes were slimy. I don't know why. I think somebody had told me that snakes were slimy, and they're shiny. So maybe from a little distance off they look slimy, but they're not at all. They're beautifully dry and clean.
I really just like the feel of them, and I really just can't say why I love them, you know, but I just do.
They're so strong, and the way they move is so liquid and beautiful. I love the way snakes move.
It's that down on the ground, that moving in that weird manner. There's something shifty and creepy about something being down below my feet level. And it just doesn't seem, right. I don't like it at all. I mean, it's like it can get up or get in funny ways. You know, like you can get up on a higher level and something can't get you. A snake it looks like it's going to go right up the wall.
What would you say is the prettiest snake you can think of?
There are no pretty snakes.
Hognose snakes from Hampstead, Long Island are really pretty.
Well, none of them are really pretty.
Of all the snakes, the king and milk snakes, you know, they have the widest, you know, range of different colors and patterns. They're really pretty.
No, I couldn't consider them pretty, no matter what the design was.
I see snakes more as an art form.
It's very hard for me to believe that any animal could be ugly, like any color could be ugly. It doesn't seem possible. It's snakes as a form. Doesn't seem attractive to me. First of all, it doesn't balance out. It's overly elongated. You don't have any kind of variation. I think the dimension, the idea that this creepy thing that can lift itself up sometimes 2 to 3 feet in the air off part of its body, wiggling and waggling in the breeze like an upturned something.
The band! The speckled band, whispered Holmes. I took a step forward. In an instant, this strange headgear began to move, and there reared itself from among his hair the squat, diamond-shaped head and puffed neck of a loathsome serpent. It's a swamp adder, cried Holmes, the deadliest snake in India.
I know what it is that I'm forgetting. It's the way it hurts you. It's that secret venom coming into you and doing you in.
To see the strike of a copperhead, it's a blur, and what he's done is he's going all the way out, the mouth is open like that, the sheaths have come out, the fangs have come out of the sheaths, they've hit, they've retracted, the gum thing is going back, the mouth's closed, all come right back. And as God is my witness, you don't see it. It's just a shiver. And all that has happened. It takes my breath away, you know?
They have such a bizarre way of eating. Since they don't have any hands, they can't grab their food that way. So they have to subdue the prey and swallow it in one piece, which is a phenomenal thing to watch, really.
What do you feed him?
I feed him dead mice. I buy the mice in stores usually, and I kill them. I use the bricks over there and just slam them against the bricks.
Mice and rats consume a third of the world's grain every year. So the farmer who goes around killing all his snakes is just cutting his own throat.
Have you seen them out here in the garden?
Oh, of course. Often they're lurking around under my plants and flowers, waiting for me.
And what do you do when you see them?
Either run or hit it with a rake. If I have a weapon, I chase it. If not, I leave. Whenever I can sneak up behind one, I kill it, happily.
The house said, why don't you pour hot water on him? And I said, what good would that do? They're cold-blooded. They wouldn't know what, I don't know what they'd do. I knew that it wouldn't do any good to put Raid on a 6-foot snake.
No, I don't think so. I remember playing golf with my father once, and a gentleman in our party clubbed one in half. He saw it creeping across the 15th tee. And he just took his nine iron and split the thing in half.
Back when I was a boy, it was just an everyday thing for me, and I'd go along a creek, and I don't know, I may have killed as high as 25 or 30 in a day's time. I don't really know.
30 what?
Snakes.
To describe exactly what one does feel about a snake, but one feels that it's completely unpredictable. They're so detached, so autonomous. I don't know that you feel that they're necessarily out to get you, but there's something about them that's going to really find out what's wrong with you. They're going to find out something about you that you'd just as soon not have them know.
Was Snakes, a piece from the 1980s by producer Jay Allison. To hear more pieces like this one, check out the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback, you can write to us at podcast@tnc.org. From Woodsall, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.